Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding, episode 24. I'm your host, Big Ron Partlow, here with my co-host, Dusty Hanshaw. And today we have a spectacular guest. It's going to be a lot of fun. Amazing bodybuilder, Brandon Beckridge, is on It's Just Bodybuilding. Dusty, what's up? Episode 24.
I see what you're doing right now. No one else knows what you're doing right now, but you're wearing the shirt that you got me that I don't have yet.
Yeah.
You're just kind of like putting it right out in my face.
Yeah, I got one of these made for you, so I'll give it to you when I see it, bro. It's
beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, no, I know. I like the mutant hoodies a lot, but the last ones they made, the real nice red one that they made, the sleeves are a little short for me.
Yeah, a little tight for me. Same thing.
Yeah. So remember, like and subscribe. And if you really like us, comment and share.
Or if you have a really funny joke, put that in.
If you have a really funny joke, comment too.
Good. It's good.
So, Brandon Beckridge, you saw him at the LA Fit this weekend. And
actually, I did not see him. And that's why it was
okay.
Funny.
I assumed you ran into him.
it would have made sense. So he came to Arizona and we had been going back and forth. We were going to train and everything. And he's like, he said, end of the month, I'll be coming out. I was like, sweet. We'll set up the whole thing. Yada, yada. He texts me. He's like, I live in town. I'm like, cool. I'm leaving. So I'm taking off and I'm thinking, how the fuck does this guy, sponsored by multiple companies, dodge the bullet of going to the LA Fit Expo, the first show of the year? Cause he's always there.
Yeah.
And I guess he had another business thing he was doing here. And of course, it just lined up because we have literally seen each other in gyms all over the country. Obviously, he lives on the in the Midwest over by Chicago. So I see him all the time at quads and we've yet to train together.
Yeah.
And the universe protected me one more time from having to train with him. So
funny. I think I've seen him at Gold's Venice 3 times. And that's like I haven't been to Gold's Venice for like 2 years. Right.
Exactly.
So, it's like I see him when I'm there. It's weird. And he doesn't live there. So
it never fails how this industry works, though. So, you know, because I've got some other friends that I saw in L.A. who are in the industry who live here and I never see them. I mean, literally probably live within 5 miles of my door, but I'll run into her in Germany and L.A. and Arnold.
Yeah.
That's kind of our running joke is, you know, maybe one of these days we'll actually just drink coffee at home.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's bring him on. Let's bring on Brandon. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Thanks for asking. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's awesome.
We were just talking about how we always run into you at the expos and stuff. You know, Dusty says he sees you around. I remember seeing you at Gold's Venice several times.
Yeah.
But you didn't go to the LA Fit this year.
No. I was actually in Phoenix. I'm not really a big deal anymore. So, you know, I have guys like Nick Walker going.
I like that little shot in there. He just
younger, bigger, less good looking. It's fine.
Hey, that's okay. I didn't get sent to LA this year either.
Yeah.
Mutant let me stay at home because you know I'm awesome. Older and they don't want to wear me out. I'm like the Hall of Fame player that just plays every second game because his back's bad. You know,
they want to utilize your fame. That's all it is. create that sense of urgency when you show up. That then draws a big crowd.
Yeah.
Stealing your name is all we're doing there.
Yeah. So what's been your main focus the last like 6 months? You did a show a little while ago, right? Which show was that?
Yeah, I did the NPC Nationals down in Miami.
Right. So it was November-ish.
Yeah, November. Yeah, end of November. That was the first time I competed actually in 3 years. Went by really quick. I took sixth. And truth be told, I actually had no intentions of competing again. I did the North Americans in 2016, 15, whatever years my wife and I got married. We got married the weekend after. So whatever year that was.
We won't let her watch this now that you don't know that.
Pretty sure. She has no idea now. It'll be 4 years. So if you do the math, carry the one, it's like 3 or 4 anyway.
Yeah.
I had no intention of actually competing after that. And it was probably October of 2018. I was kind of just getting like, I was kind of getting to a funk, you know, I was kind of losing my drive. And it's a lot different training when you're not training for a competition. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you guys know how it is. Like, it's just different. And, or maybe you don't, you guys haven't like ever retired yet. So
no, I am. I'm way past that.
Fully retired.
I don't acknowledge that though, Ron.
Well, because of people like Johnny Jackson who retired and are already getting ready for the Arnold, you just can't acknowledge it until we're in the grave at this point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I reached out to Doran Hamilton, basically just looking for some accountability. I was like, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole where I start to slack and just, you know what I mean? Like, I just need a little bit of focus. And he actually got me feeling really, really good and up to my food, and my body was responding. I kind of started having fun with training again. I was checking in with him weekly, and come like December, I was like 280, 285, like in okay shape, and was feeling good and big and strong. And I was like, hey, dude, I think I want to do this again. And he's like, yeah. He's like, fuck yeah. He's like, all right. He's like, let's pick a show and try it. So had a little bit of a long year. I was prepping for Toronto. Actually, when I saw you, Ron, at the Arnold,
yeah.
I think I just kind of started the prep a couple weeks prior. I ended up probably was like around April, I believe. I started feeling real bad, like out of nowhere. Pretty intuitive with my body. So I went and got some labs done. And basically my TSH was almost at a 9. Which basically indicates that my thyroid is like in the shitter. So he's like, yeah. All right, let's get some more labs done, because that could be, you know, saying some other things that maybe aren't necessarily true regarding thyroid. I was like, okay, so I got thyroid done. Basically, my thyroid was like fucked. Like T4, T3 were both like through the ground. And this doctor was like, he's like, I'm really shocked that you even have the level of body mass and body fat that you do. I'm like, I'm strict. I do a ton of cardio. So we went into it furthermore. Anyway, long story short, went medicated and it didn't really help much. So
what'd they start you on?
He just put me on T4 Synthroid first. Okay. We did 50 micrograms of T4. And then I got labs done again 4 weeks later and they hadn't changed really at all. So they put me on, he put it on 100 T4 and then 50 T3. And he was,
Jesus.
He wanted to like, because it like literally barely moved. Like,
yeah, you must have been off. I couldn't even imagine if I went on 100.
you know what's fucked, man, was so I ended up pulling out of the Toronto show. Remember, Ron, I ran into you there.
Yeah.
I still ended up going because I wanted to support the guys that I was planning on competing against. And so I ended up pulling out of that show, and I was planning on doing, I thought maybe I'll do the USA's, because it's like 5 or 6 weeks later. And, it just didn't work out. Like, my body just wasn't doing anything.
Right.
So I was like, this is not good. And the doc was like, this has probably been an issue for you for a very long time. And for whatever reason, maybe it's because you're older now, you haven't competed or prepped like this. This severe dieting was what really just like made it, you know, go through the floor. I was like, okay, well, shit. So ended up taking off June, July, and pretty much August. And at that point, I was so pissed off because I thought I was looking really good leading into Toronto. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to do a fucking show. I don't care. Like, I don't care if I look like shit. Like, I want to fucking do it. I'm going to bust my ass, whatever it fucking takes, like the best of my ability. I don't care whatever the outcome is. I just want to look as good as I possibly can with whatever the cards of this I'm dealt. And it did. And it hurt. So, fucking dieting like the last like 4 weeks on like right under 1,000 calories. Yeah. And just, I'm like,
You didn't say dieting, you said starving. It was words.
I was surviving at like 1,000 calories. Yeah. And people don't believe me. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I could do 2 shits. But you know, but my body, like, I'm able to hold on to muscle really, really well. Like, I prepped with Jansen years ago before he was big. And I was doing like 2 hours and 20 minutes of cardio a day. And I was doing zero carbs, zero fats. I show you the email, it's so fucked, right? And my body weight was not moving.
And he's boiling chicken.
That's it. Like, smelling it sometimes, just not even eating it, you know. It's just, and so he was like, the only thing he was looking at was glutes. But he's like, wow, he's like, you just hold on to everything pretty well. I'm like, yeah, fuck, so whatever. It's just, it is what it is. But yeah, so wow. I ended up taking took six at Nationals and the Super Heavies, which I was super happy with. I didn't have any delusions of winning or, you know, taking top five. I would have been ecstatic, but I was told that I took 6 based on size and structure and symmetry and everything. My conditioning was subpar, obviously, from the back. But, you know, from the front, everybody was like, dude, you killed it. So,
is that your best look, you think, still, though?
I believe so. Yeah. I think I looked a little bit better in the morning. But I mean, that is what it is. You know, I mean, right. I'm not to say that that would have changed the outcome at all.
Right.
That was definitely the best I looked. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you look at the guys who, you know, because I think that your doc is probably right about fighting the thyroid and not knowing. Right. Because after your qualifier, I was talking to a friend of mine and I was like, you know, Brandon's a guy who just like everywhere we went, I would, you know, I mean, whether it was we were in Vegas at the Olympia or wherever, I would see you in the gym. Right. You know, because the shitty genetic white guys are always in the gym training on those weekends and doing our cardio and doing all the shit we have to do. And the guys who beat us are sleeping in the room. But but I would run into you all the time. And I'm like, this conditioning issue is just finding the sweet spot.
Right.
Because, and I mean, now I understand it's even more than that, because I knew it wasn't a lack of work or a lack of discipline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was kind of an interesting thing to hear that there's actually a thyroid thing, because I bet you since I've known you, you've been fighting, it wasn't low enough to feel. So you didn't notice. Right.
I still don't quite get like it blows me away that you went on 50 T3 and didn't feel any better. I didn't see it go, like you'd think that would just immediately register in your blood as
cytomel. Yeah, I actually know, and maybe it was, I mean, I guess it could have been placebo at this point because I was pretty hyped and convinced that it was going to be a game changer for him. Can you guys hear me better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll put my headphones in. But I thought that I felt better. And that's when I was really, I actually like went into like a mild, like immediate depression when I got my labs back. And this is actually really funny. The day that I got my labs back, I was actually picking my son and my wife up from the airport because they went on like a 4 or 5 day vacation in Florida. So I went to go pick them up, but I got my labs back. I talked to the doc. And I was like, and that was when I was like, I'm not going to be able to do the USAs. Like, I was like, I need to figure this out. Like, this is important. And I went on like a 12,000 calorie food challenge on my own without anyone knowing. It was awesome. So I kind of busted Fuad's balls. I was like, stop being a pussy. Like, I did 12,000 calories from 3 p.m. to midnight. Like, what the fuck, man?
You couldn't do 10 in a day?
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. What kind of a bodybuilder are you? But yeah, so... To be honest, you're gonna fucking lose your shit. When I was at Nationals, my Synthroid was almost at 150 and my T3 was at 75. That's what I was running probably the last like 7 weeks. And still, like when I went back to the doc in December, I have to go back next month to the endo, and they're basically they even brought up doing what do they call it? Thyroidectomy.
Really? Oh, really?
I was like, I don't fucking have cancer. I was like, so I'm getting some second opinions. Like,
well, something's fucked in here, so we got to figure out what it is.
Yeah. If it doesn't work, throw it out. We'll figure it out from there.
How?
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't even know how hungry I'd be on that much thyroid.
Yeah. Try doing 2 hours of cardio with that shit and then eating. It was just like, I can handle anything now. Fuck. Anything.
Well, yeah. Like I've done 50 T3 on low carbs. And like I've been at 25 and gone to 50 and it hit me like a sledgehammer. Like I was just fucking like, couldn't even make a fist. It was just lethargic as fuck.
Wow.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't imagine how you felt.
How these bikini girls are rocking 100 all the time. I'm like, how do you guys survive?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
No, it's brutal though, because if you think about what your levels are like naturally, I mean, I don't know, Brandon, if you ever remember dieting with a healthy thyroid, but if we bump up to 12 point, Chris will bump me from 25 to 37 and a half, and days later be like, oh fuck, no, you're flat.
You know, like, what's funny? Like,
boom.
I don't think I've ever gone over 25 on cytomel, and I would only use it like for a couple weeks, but I think just like what you said, you're like, I don't know if you remember what it was like. I don't know that I've ever known. Like, I've never had a problem taking T3 and like feeling bad. I've never felt that.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know.
You were off. But I think that, you know, something that I would like to push forward to everybody that's listening here is everyone is afraid to get their blood work done when they're on. I love how people do it. They get done with a big cycle. Then they do their best to clean up their shit for like a month and a half.
Make sure and then cardio. They do their
blood work and it's like, No.
Yeah.
Now.
Right.
Test it. See where you're at. Know the truth. And that's why you got two choices with both guys. It's wait 6 weeks so you can lie to yourself, or just bury your head in the sand and don't test it at all.
Yeah.
And people pretend that you don't know you're fucked.
Yeah. It's not gonna you can't hide from that down the road.
Yeah, eventually it catches you. But the thing is if you do it the way you did it, look what happened. You got an answer and you were able to adapt and make decisions, and you're not guessing. Like, I've never understood that. It'd be like taking the open book test and not opening the book.
Right.
The answers are right there for $300. Just get the fucking test done. Know where you're at. And like you said, imagine if you'd have banged your head against the wall trying to do the USAs for 4 more weeks before not making it. You wouldn't have done nationals either, because you'd have lost 4 weeks of figuring out what was wrong with your body.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
I wanted to ask you, well, Dusty and I get a lot of questions about this stuff. And then we were gonna ask you about the sponsorship. Sponsorship money, sponsorship funds, working for a living, this sort of stuff. Cause Dusty and I have, you know, sort of the same feelings on this. Cause we know a lot of guys out there that, you know, they're just leaning into bodybuilding with no other plan at all. And I'll be the first to admit I didn't have a plan B, but I also will admit that I got pretty lucky in a way. And like, I wouldn't recommend that to most people. So, so
don't shoot for luck.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, now later in my life, I'm doing like business, all sorts of business now. And I, you know, get that. But when I was younger, well, I was a little bit like too, you know,
yeah.
And, what's your take on that? Cause I know you work for a living. You always have, you know, how do you feel about this?
You know, yeah, Dusty and I actually, we talked about this a little bit over the weekend. You know, we missed each other over in Phoenix. But yeah, I've always worked. I could talk about this for hours, I feel like. and I did learn the hard way in a way, but it was probably one of my greatest lessons. And so just to give you, to give you guys a background, like I was with Allmax for almost 7 years, and I was brought on just like most guys. And this is actually before codes were a thing. Mm-hmm. His codes are actually pretty recent. If you think about it, it's only been a few years, but big salaries and everything like that. I was with Allmax as like an ambassador, didn't get paid. I got the free product. But I showed up, I was passionate about it. That was like my dream growing up. I wanted to go pro. I wanted to be sponsored. I wanted to travel. Like that was it. That was a life. That was before you could make a living doing this type of thing and utilizing a social media platform. You know what I mean? So at that point, like I got my foot in the door. I loved Allmax products because I had my clients using them prior, being a personal trainer, nutritionist and stuff like that. I didn't really do online coaching at the time, but I'm kind of a big fish in a small pond here. People think I'm a shit. I'm not. It's just, I'm like a big fish. I'm like a big fish in a puddle. So, but people respect me enough to listen to my word and they trust that I'll give it to them straightforward in terms of like what's good and what's not. So this local supplement store had carried Allmax and I had given them a ton of business based on, you know, referrals with supplements and stuff like that. And long story short, I got in with them and was very passionate about it, pushed the product, made a great name for myself within the company. Tons of people were using it. They started sending me on you know, these trips and stuff like that to do content. I was doing appearances. I was in fucking Canada all the time, you know, doing appearances and doing content with them because they're Toronto based, and all for free. So, which was difficult because
idiot.
for sure. So I had no idea that I had not even anticipated it being that way, but I was getting my product and they would like pay for the travel and stuff like that, of course, you know, but, but I was also missing work.
You were losing money.
Oh yeah. Well, especially because my wife and I, we just bought our house like that year and we just moved in. Like we almost didn't make it because I was traveling and doing all this stuff and it was difficult. So I had gotten some offers from a couple other companies and they wanted to pay me. And so I told them, I was like, I'm loyal to like Allmax. And I was like, look, like I love this. I'm like, but I'm like putting myself in a hole here. And these other companies are offering money. And like, but it would really help me out a lot at this time to take that offer, like financially for, you know, my wife, my kid and stuff. And they're like, okay. And they're like, well, hold on. And so then they offered me a contract, a 3-year contract as an amateur. And so this was right when Ben Pakulski was in there. Right. And he had just slid out. So it wasn't like, I don't look at it as like, oh, I was some like really good amateur. They saw my potential, but they also needed a new face for the company. Mm-hmm. And I was like next in line. So I was able to benefit from that. So they signed me a 3-year deal 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 a month. Each year I got $1,000 pay raise. I was making more than a lot of pros were, but I was also working my dick off. And what ended up happening with that was I was so involved with the brand, with the company, and I was passionate about it that like I was missing a lot of work. I was unable to grow my business back home. And what ended up happening was like, I started to believe them. Like it was a family thing. Any of you guys that have sponsors, if they tell you it's family, don't fucking believe it. And because there's no
family in business, kids.
There's no family in business. And you know what? I mean that, and I'm not trying to be like an asshole, but that's the reality of it. Business is business and it will always be business. It's never personal. If it's personal, then it's personal, but it's business. And companies are not going to keep you around just because they like you. If you're not making money for them, if you don't show value, you know, I'm sorry, that's the reality of things. They may love you to death, but they're not going to sit there and go broke or waste money on somebody like that. So that's not to say what happened to me, but what ended up happening was, I was told that they were talking about doing like an even longer contract, because to me, I was like, I'm a lifer at Allmax. Like everybody inside said that and it was well. And, the last Arnold that I was there, can't remember what the year it was, but I had a long meeting with the head guy and the owner, and we talked for a few hours and set this whole new contract. And then they just didn't renew me just like that through an email. And he was like, you know, thanks for everything you've done. It's been great. I was like, you'd be fucking kidding me. I was devastated. Like legit felt like heartbroken.
So, you lost $60K a year.
So you sat down and worked out a new contract.
Yeah.
And then how many days later did they email you?
About a month and a half. After I emailed them, like reached out a couple times, I was like, dude, what's going on?
Yeah. Are we going to get this done? Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So I did the best I could with what I had, but I didn't prepare for that. Work wasn't the same. So I was put into a really difficult spot financially. I had to restart everything because a lot of what I was depending on was that was like my main income. And I didn't see that coming at all. So I did, I learned the hard way, but that was probably, like Ben Pekulski, I remember he was with SciTech and he was listening to one of his podcasts and he said it was one of his biggest blessings, but one of his greatest curses was getting that big salary because in a way it taught him not to work, taught him to be lazy.
Yeah. Cause they threw six figures at him real easy.
Yeah. 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 Right. So, yeah. Yeah, and I was young. I didn't have anybody to give me advice otherwise, you know. But I, my whole thing, the reason I worked and stuff was like, my mindset was like, bodybuilding can stop like that. But I was always thinking in terms of like injury. You know, I was like, you could have a career-ending pec tear, and that would be it. It was never in my mind to lose my sponsorship.
Yeah.
Right.
So it really, really hit me hard.
Well, I mean, essentially you got hit with the truth of loyalty. And I mean, it's not a shot on Allmax or any other company, because at the end of the day, they have this intention. And I mean, you know, I'm going to be the one that points out what probably happened back door, which is I'm going to guesstimate that right around the time they didn't re-sign you, Steve Kuklo and Amanda Latona got hit with a new contract or just got signed. Yeah. And they looked and said, you know what? We don't need it. And that, you know, it sucks to be in that position because A, like you said, the family shit's kind of funny because family's family, but then wait a minute, but you didn't even have the balls to directly tell me this was coming, you know what I mean? Or it was even on the table. And that's something that you and I, Brian, were talking about was a lot of these guys, and we've had a few on who are relying on bodybuilding contracts, and I've done it as well early in my career. I really think the guys need to understand that you need things you can control as your base of your life. Mm-hmm. So that's your training, that's your job, your business, whatever it is you're doing. And not lose track of those because, you know, I've heard it countless times and I've even tried it and it doesn't really apply, which is that you can't possibly bodybuild at the highest level and run a business or do training. It's like, the fuck do you do all day?
Yeah. I've had a lot of people lately ask me, hey, you know, I want to do a show. So we're talking a level one show, but like I work. So like, I don't know, like, do you think it's possible? Like, I've actually had that.
And they're dead serious.
And I'm like, what the fuck do you think 99% of all bodybuilders ever of all time have done?
Right.
Like, including every pro up until like the 90s. When did pros stop working jobs? Like the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And let's have an ugly truth. How many of those pros from the 90s lived off their bodybuilding and were fucked when their career ended?
Yeah, yeah. And they're totally broke ass.
You know, I mean, I've got guys that I know that are close friends of mine, and I've seen them, you know, go from making 300 grand from muscle tech and this shit, you know, which no one's getting anymore, but a lot of guys were back then.
Yeah.
To legit driving hoopties and starting at the bottom and trying to get training clients again when their career's right. over. It's a real sad thing because it's a preparation of life. And Brandon, we've kind of accidentally, you know, started talking a lot of business on this, but I think it's because it's a part of the game. You know, guys will ask me often, I'm getting into bodybuilding. What do you suggest first? And I said, get a good job.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say.
Expensive as fuck.
Yeah, they don't realize it. It's like parents are smart enough to figure it out for their kids. Like, you know, to be a hockey parent, you got to have a bit of money.
Yep.
Right. So like parents are smart enough to know, like, oh, I don't want my kid playing hockey because that's going to, you know, too much for us. Right.
Give him a soccer ball.
Yeah. Give him a soccer ball. Like, we don't have a lot of cash. Let's give him like this, you know, but, you know, they're smart enough, but bodybuilders can't figure that out for themselves. They don't seem to be able to math.
They're not good with numbers outside of a rep scheme.
Yeah. They count in 45s.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the key, though. It's accurate, you know, because I think that that's a huge factor in all of it is now look where you're at. You were able to essentially walk away from bodybuilding. I mean, you bodybuild because you'll be a bodybuilder for life, but from competitive bodybuilding, you built your business back up, and then you got signed how long ago with your new contract?
I've actually been a little bit of a sponsor whore the last couple of years. Be honest. After what's that?
Slut.
Slut.
That's okay. We like sluts on this show.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
I watch the show. I know. Yeah. So after I was with Olimax, Ed Koo reached out to me, and because I'm with Iron Rebel still, I pretty much had like an easy in with them. And John Meadows was like, you know, I'd be happy to have you on there. John says he'd be happy to have you on. If I can go on.
Yeah.
It's John Meadows. Yeah. Yep. So. But yeah, I ended up leaving there for various reasons on my own, and Caged Muscle. I signed with them for a year, and while I loved their products and I loved the people inside, like Fuad's wife Samer, she's an awesome woman. Like, I worked with her directly and stuff like that. But my name and what I do just doesn't fit with the image of Caged per se. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very clean. Like, they would post pictures of Fuad and Branch, but they post pictures of me, and they'll be like, "Why is that big juice head on there? This is a natural company." I'm like, "What the fuck? Like, what about those guys? Like, it's because I'm amateur. It's why."
So, that word has haunted you.
That's funny.
I call myself a professional amateur. Like, I'm really good at being amateur. Like, nobody's better than I am. I have more experience than everybody. But,
That's funny.
Yeah, I had an opportunity, and I took it with Dragon Pharma, and I love it because they're just such big bodybuilding fans. They love it. They like the bigger, the freak. They went hardcore. They love old school bodybuilding. It's just it just resonates so well with me. So I signed with them in July of last July. So it's still in its infant stages. But I don't see myself going anywhere. They're great people. They're so nice.
Are you going to be doing like any of the expo trips this year at all? You think?
I believe so. We were supposed to do the Olympia last year, and then they actually just dropped out like a month prior. But they were saying that they were going to be doing all the big expos this year. Mm-hmm. So, but I haven't heard anything. I know they've grown like astronomically over the last several months, and I think they're having a hard time keeping up. So I would imagine that we're going to be there, but I haven't heard anything. So, you know, bodybuilding is, we usually know like the week prior.
We need Tuesday. It's Monday. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
So you can be there.
Okay. Well, no, that's a good setup though, because they do fit you, and it's cool because they're definitely bursting on the scene. I mean, I've known them obviously from overseas for a minute, but I'm starting to feel them in the States now, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool, man. Like I went down there for the first time and met the owner, and the owner would like message me on WhatsApp pretty regularly because they're from Brazil. There's mm-hmm. two owners. They're both from Brazil, but they're great guys and they're very personable. And I, one of the cool things I liked about it was I talked to the owner personally on the phone. Shit. Before I signed with them officially, I talked to him more times than I've talked to all the owners collaboratively over all the years I've been bodybuilding.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just and he messages me out of nowhere, and he's like, "Hey, Brandon, hope you're doing well." This went like he was trying me. He's like, "Man, we really love having you on. Thanks for the great content you've been doing." I'm like, "Damn, like this guy, I know he has his hands full with a lot of things, and still takes the time on his own to reach out. Like, there really are a lot about the athletes, you know, and it's a good feeling. You don't really get that a whole lot. I don't feel like."
Oh, for sure. Ron knows how that is too. We have that with Mutant where I'm always stunned. I'll be sitting there and I see a comment pop up from Mutant CEO on my Instagram. I'm thinking, man, you got a lot of bigger fish to fry than checking my IG, so I'm impressed right now.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely know that feeling for sure. Right.
I was just going to say it's nice to know, like, the company you're in with obviously isn't too corporate yet because, like, you know, the bigger things get. I mean, if it was a massive pharmaceutical company that owned that brand, you probably wouldn't be hearing from the owner.
No,
the owner wouldn't know you were there.
Yeah. And that's also sort of tied in with, like, you know, like what happened to you, like just suddenly getting let go. Yeah. Like in a corporate setting, that could just be as simple as like the one guy who's involved in the chain of athlete relations. He leaves and they replace him with someone that just thinks differently.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you're gone. And it wasn't like anyone in the chain even really had any say in it. It's like this guy, like it stopped here. Now we don't need that guy anymore. Boom.
Yep.
So, you know, corporate stuff that can be how it goes when they're really big companies. So I don't know. It's, you know, probably great to be working with the owner like that.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. I definitely don't take it for granted. It's nice.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dusty. I cut you off.
No, so I was curious then because I saw your countdown. Are we looking at North Americans as the next one? I'm trying to do the math, but I'm not great at that.
Yeah, it's not 45s. Yeah, yeah, North Americans as of right now, yeah.
Nice.
So I think, I mean, it would probably make more sense to do nationals because it's a couple more months later and obviously give me a little bit more time. Who the fuck keeps texting me? Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I get excited.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus.
It was me. You look great.
Save that. I love your hoodie. Yeah, so, but yeah, so I think it would probably make more sense to do nationals, but North Americans is nice because I mean, being from Chicago, like I think I'm just going to drive there. I think it's like a 7-hour drive.
Right.
And I freaking blow up, dude, like a balloon when I fly, like from Chicago to Atlanta, like my ankles look like a post rebound show gone bad. Like it's stupid.
Oh,
so
really?
It's so bad. Like I flew to Phoenix, over the weekend. I just got back this morning at 1:00, but, it's like a 3-hour flight.
Yeah. It's easy.
And I can just feel it, man. Like, every like 20 or 30 minutes, I like wiggle my foot and I just feel like
the shoes getting tighter.
Yeah. I'm like, and I go in, I'm like, fuck.
Now you know why I wear Chucks.
Yeah. Those were
that
Chucks.
Canvas gives.
Right. Pretty soon it's just going to be like those like Adidas slides. Like, I'm not even going to fucking wear anything. Just going to let them blow up.
Like Homer Simpson in the off season.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what that is.
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to break into this episode of It's Just Bodybuilding with Ron and Dusty to do like a little talking ad here. I figure it'll keep your ears entertained instead of playing the same old, right? All right, so I'm going to shout out our sponsor, True Nutrition, and tell you guys, you know, I have believed in True Nutrition long before they sponsored our programming. In fact, I've used True Nutrition whey isolate for every single one of my contest preps, and it is a protein that I suggest to all my clients. It's a good, clean whey isolate, and it works really well. Plus, there's a ton of different flavors, so there's a flavor for everyone. They've got a lot of other proteins besides just the isolate. You know, they've got basically everything you could think of. I also want to mention their oatmeal blends. If you are dieting, it's fun to have some flavored oatmeals. So usually when I place an order with them, what I do is I will place an order for a couple different 1 pound bags of their oatmeal so I can try some different unique flavors. And it just kind of, it's fun, especially when you're dieting, to be able to add those extra flavors in to your diet. It's just different, and it ends up costing like a buck more or something than it would have to just buy plain old fashioned oats with no flavor at all. Finally, I will mention their NO stuff. I love having their beta alanine and their citrulline malate on hand. I use those things pre-workout. I make my own pre-workouts at this point. And even if I use something that's like a prefabbed pre-workout out of a can, then I will make sure that I can boost up the citrulline or the beta alanine so that I get as much as I want. And, you know, it's awesome to get the best pump you can in the gym. The freaking pumps make it all fun, right? So anyway, thanks for listening to this commercial. Thanks for listening to Ron and Dusty. And guys, thanks for supporting True Nutrition. You can use our code ADVICES. And if you buy the oatmeal, you can use the code ADVICESOATS. Either of those will get you saving. The Advices Oats will get you like 25% off. So, all right, guys, let's get back to it. And hey, one more note. If you're listening to this on iTunes, do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review so that you can help other people find the programming. All right, guys, let's get back to it.
So, well, I mean, I don't know, man. I agree with your guys' decision more than what you think, because I've never understood not having that next option. You know, because you go to North Americans and you miss by a smidge. You want that next show. And you know, dieting doesn't fucking matter. So I love when people, I get it all the time. Can I do a show and then do another show in 6 weeks? I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
can you continue to be dieting? Then you're fine. Cause yeah, I always thought the opposite. It was always USA's and North Americans to me, just because I knew I had another shot just in case, you know what I mean? Right. So at least now you've got that window. Cause after nationals, it's kind of like,
It's USA's next.
It's USA's, but now you're going to go into an off season, and someone like you, I mean, it's not like you need an off season. I know you want to put muscle in specific spots, but no one said to you, well, you just need a little more size. I don't care what pose you were in. No one was just dusting you with muscle. So,
no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you felt like it.
Everybody feels like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know that with talking to your clients. I had this happen, Ron, with my first USAs. I'm backstage and I'm looking at everybody. I'm like, fuck, these dudes are big, you know? And I come out after prejudging and Chris goes, fuck, you are big up there. And I'm like, I am? I'm looking behind me. Who's he talking to?
It's so funny how it really is. It's not how big you are. It's how big you look. It's full. Like I remember Chris saying once to me, I said, I don't feel full. And he goes, fullness is a look.
Not a feel.
Not a feel. And I was like, oh, and like, you know, I remember at the North Americans with Chris too. I got sixth and, you know, they do the first call out. They've called five guys and then they all leave the stage. So you don't even get to stand next to the fifth place guy, right?
Yep,
you know how, and then I get the called
Canadian sixth.
Yeah. And then I get the second five and they put me in the middle and I just dust the whole group. And I'm like, well, fuck, can I stand next to fourth and fifth? Cause I'm pretty sure I'll do okay. Like, but they're off the stage now. So it's just like such a fast show that it just hit like crazy. But I remember I was standing backstage and it was like Todd Jewell, Keith Williams, all those guys, right? And I'm looking around, I'm like, holy crap, these guys look huge.
Todd was a big boy.
Todd was big, right? But I was like in much better condition than most of the guys in the top five. So, but I just felt so skinny. And I remember I came off stage and Chris is like, this is your best look ever. You look fucking round and big. And I was just like, next to those guys, I didn't feel big. And he's like, no, it's just, you know, like it's a look, not a feel.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you about your bodybuilding in the early days and, you know, when you start out lifting, Dusty and I have had this conversation. This is on my list here, Dusty. I don't know if I sent you my list. Did I send you my list?
I never opened your emails.
You never opened me. Okay. So we've had the conversation before. We're like, if you could show the physique you've built now to the teenager that started working out, what do you think? Like when you started training, I don't know, like how would you perceive that?
Pretty close to what I wanted. I mean, I feel like when I first started off, I did my first show at 19, I was 186 pounds, not shredded, nothing's changed, but I always emulated.
I added 100 pounds, but nothing changed.
Nothing changed. Same soggy glutes, the whole deal.
Oh man.
Yeah.
But you're gonna be just fine on this show. You can now be a guest host anytime. If you can self-deprecate, you're in here.
Yeah, you have to be able to tear yourself to pieces.
Shit, harder than anybody. Boston Lloyd can't touch me. That's why we became friends.
Right, right.
You realized you couldn't say shit you weren't saying about yourself?
Yeah, he's like, I was like, that's all you got, dude? And I was like, hold my beer. Yeah, so, I always emulated, like, Kevin Lavrone and Flex. I loved those dudes' physiques, man. They were just massive, vague, great lines. And I think I caught on to that because I realized that I had that type of structure where I'm wide on top. I have a smaller waist because my lats suck and they insert really high like Dennis Wolf. And you know what I mean? Like those things I can work off of those and make my legs look big, but you know, so I'm pretty happy with how I'm coming along. I'm not done yet. I mean, this shit's about to get real. I'm just starting basically.
Well, you just figured out you've had no thyroid for God knows how long.
Yeah, I've been natty this whole time too.
Wait till you start taking real tests.
I know.
So I have another question because it just came up when Ron did this. I didn't think about. Do you remember? And Ron, this one's for you too because I've never asked you this. Do you remember the first time, like whether it was at the gym or at home or whatever, that you looked in the mirror or saw a picture and were like, "Holy fuck, I'm that big dude." Like, because I can remember like the moment, like I could tell you what bench I was sitting at Gilbert Gold's the day that I looked in the mirror and went, fuck, I did it. Because I was just like you. I started at 186 pounds and God knows no one told me I should get into bodybuilding. So.
Right.
I don't have the story of you should do a show, you know. So do you guys remember that moment when you were like, holy fuck, like because it kind of does hit you all at once. Mm-hmm. Like even though it's something that happens a centimeter at a time, one day you just look up and it's like, there it is.
Yeah, you got one, Brandon?
I actually do, yeah. I was I do remember exactly everything. I was do you guys remember Super Draw?
Of course. I sold a ton of it. This house is brought to you by Super Draw.
What company made that again?
Extreme yep. Pharmaceuticals, yep. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I had gotten one of those, and I was still like a big kid, like I was one of the bigger guys in the gym, but not like I was like big bodybuilder big, but not like you get it, young, still young and fresh meat, right?
Yeah.
But I was taking that stuff, and I always stayed covered up, always had my hoodie on and stuff like that. And there was this woman that worked out of my gym, Debbie Patton. She's an IFBB pro figure. Or bodybuilder, sorry, mm-hmm. And she's long retired now, but it's actually yeah. So. It was hot as shit one day and I was training shoulders and a little bit of traps and I was drenched, man. I took my hoodie off and it was just like what you said. I like took it off and I looked over and she was looking at me like,
I just, she knows under there either.
She's like, what the fuck? And so she comes walking over to me and she's like, listen, and I was still natural at the time. And she's like, listen, she's like, if you're natural, like you say you are, she's like, you have a lot of potential. And I'm like, what? That was rude. And I like turned, I looked in the mirror and get ready.
That was rude.
I was like, oh,
what
shit.
A bitch.
Yeah. I was like, well, same thing though. I was like, what's she talking about? I looked, I was like, God damn.
She's like, right.
What? Only time in my life I thought I was like feeling myself. I was like, yeah.
That's why we can all remember because it's never happened since.
That's it. It was the first and last time.
Well, what about you, Ron? Did you have your moment?
Well, I have them. Yeah, like you know, I don't know if this was the first time, but it's a time that I clearly remember, and it's when I was probably would have been about 20 years old, 19 or 20 years old, mm-hmm. And I was in Australia, and I was training with John Davey and Nick Jones, who were in their you know kind of amateur.
Two very small men, cool.
Very, very Aussie legendary guys. You know, John wound up doing the Olympia eventually. Yeah. Nick won the NABBA Worlds and stuff like that. So I had these two training partners that I was like, we were just smashing it. And I'd go to the gym every day with them. And I always felt like I was the kid who was training with the guy who did the Worlds and the guy that was going to win Nationals, right? Right. So I always felt like they were seasoned. Like they'd both been shredded multiple times. They both won shows. And I hadn't competed yet. Right. So I was like, you know, let's do this. And I was training with them, and I remember this guy who was a power lifter at the gym. He came over and he's like, "Yeah, I love being in the gym when you three monsters are tearing it up."
You were one of the monsters.
And except he had an Aussie accent, so it would have been like, "You three monsters are tearing it up." I don't know how to fucking talk. And he probably swore several times because he was Aussie,
of
right?
Course.
So there's a few F bombs, maybe a C bomb in there.
There was definitely a cunt drop.
There was definitely
a cunt drop. You three cunts. And I just remember being like, "Oh, I match.
I belong."
So I'm not the thing that doesn't fit that you asked a 6-year-old. What doesn't go?
Yeah, and like Nick was the smallest one. He's like 5'7". And so he wasn't a big guy, but he was such a quality bodybuilder. He had like the rock hard granite muscle, you know, striated everything. Right. And then John was like, you know, 290 fucking 32-inch quads and 22-inch arms. So I was like, I just felt like I was a guy that was like young dough. I looked like a bag of milk. You know, but all of a sudden
I've
I was
heard
like
of a bag of milk. That was fantastic.
You know, it's a very Canadian thing, Dusty.
I've got Ronisms, Anacetoisms going now in my
there you go. So I just remember thinking like, "Oh fuck, like I match them enough, you know, like I'm getting there."
Right.
You know, I remember that being just like, my traps got a little bigger.
Yeah. No one else knew it. You were holding more suitcases.
Yeah. My muscle density increased. Yeah.
No shit. So what are you doing now? Are you doing online stuff now too, Brandon, or what?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I do a lot, man. I kind of got to the point. I used to hate doing online stuff because I felt like it wasn't very personable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, I had a hard time getting into that, but now, I mean, I like it a lot better because it's a larger demographic of people who are very committed and dedicated, and mm-hmm. all they really need is structure. You know, it's not like they need their handheld. So yeah, I do a ton of online stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I've done. I went to school for exercise science. So I've been doing nutrition and training clients since I was 19, 20 years old. Right. So before online coaching was even a thing.
Before it was cool.
Yeah. Right. Before it was the trend. Yeah. Yeah, so I do that, and then I've got the gym. I train my clients there, and then I also work within a you could call it like a health solutions company. That's mm-hmm. what I was in Arizona for. So okay. I really enjoy that a lot. It's outside of the bodybuilding realm, but I'm able to work with a lot of people who have actually come from the fitness industry, just completely fucked, you know, internally, right. And allowing me to work with them and get them back to a better state in terms of health and mental health as well. I mean, it really is very gratifying. So that's probably my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So doing a lot.
No, I feel that with the same, because it's something I'm sure you guys both get too, is I get a lot of questions. Do you work with people who don't compete? And I mean, don't get me wrong, I love creating my freaks, but yeah. There is something about both things that you touched on, which is one with what I call gen pop people is you're actually changing their life.
Absolutely.
Like on so many levels beyond, they come to you to change their physique,
right.
But you change everything. And I think a lot of my clients are surprised on how much time we spend on how you see yourself, how you talk about yourself. What, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, cause I don't allow them to do what I do. Like right. I joke with hammering away at myself, but literally when clients are like, "Well, I still look terrible." I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
You're down 12 pounds, right. You know, you're doing X, Y, Z that you said you were never going to do, whether it's a lady in a swimming suit or whatever it was, you know, and it's fun to see that change because those people, when we're done, it's never done. It's not a show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lifestyle change.
Yeah. And I think it's also interesting is how committed a lot of those people get once you get into their mental side, because I'm adamant, and I think I lose clients because of it, but I don't really mind. I tell people up front, I will never hit you up for your pictures.
Yeah, ever. It's not your responsibility.
If you don't send them in and you just stop calling, I just assume you quit. I just don't do it because that's your job, and I'm here. I will answer every goddamn email you send,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't check in, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you were done.
Yeah, it says a lot about your intentions toward your goal and your commitment. I'm the same way. That's why I always tell people, like, I'm not going to chase you for your check-in.
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility. I shouldn't have to motivate you to check in and take your damn pictures. It's not
it's the only thing they have to do.
Yeah, you had one job.
Well, yeah. Plus you got to remember what I learned, because I used to chase it. I mean, truthfully, because when I was first starting, it was about making sure I didn't lose a client. But I started to realize I was giving more focus to my clients that were slacking than my clients that were working. And it's like, whoa, so I'm giving you extra credit for I just wasted how much time chasing you down, where John Smith over here is killing it.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I mean? And has 35,000 things. And it is interesting, too, back to that whole working and adjusting thing. You're taking people who have jobs, have kids in sports. I mean, shit that blows my brain up. And then they follow the diet to the fucking letter. Mm-hmm. They're prepping their own meals. And I'm just like, sometimes I look at them, I'm like, are you a hardcore motherfucker? Like, I don't go to soccer practice for three children and played mom duty and all that other shit. I mean, hell, we all know I fix everything with a credit card. So it's a tricky, tricky thing you people do.
Dusty doesn't even have a screwdriver in his house.
I do have one now. I told you, because I got that table. And actually, true story, I had a table show up that we had ordered. And I was
You have one IKEA screwdriver.
I go, I'll be right back. She's like, where are you going? I go, well, we need a screwdriver, it says, and I don't have one. So I went to Home Depot and I got one. I came back, I was like, we have a screwdriver. Right. Next show, I'm bringing it on to showcase my screwdriver.
You can have your man card now.
Yeah, I gave that away a long time ago.
Yeah. Hey, what do you do to get away from bodybuilding? Like, do you have an hour every day that you like watch something just for you, or do you have like you know, at nighttime, are you good at just kind of stop talking about it or thinking about it or thinking about clients? Can you ever turn yourself off from it?
Recently, that's actually something that I've addressed, because I didn't used to, you know what I mean? That's like another topic I could go into and spew into for a while, but this like last probably like year and a half, like I've really focused on trying to improve myself. Like as an individual, as a man, as a husband, as a son, as a dad, like as a bodybuilder, my business, like everything, just as a whole, a lot of just characteristic traits. But one thing that I noticed was that I was very stuck in my ways, and I was consumed by bodybuilding, because there was nothing else that I did. Like, I don't go and shoot guns. Like, I've got my dogs, I've got my kid, but that's not a hobby. That's like all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So something that I've been trying to do is like learn to break away from that. And I'm doing a lot of traveling right now. Like, I started my own CBD line. That's been keeping me busy. I'm doing a lot of things. So those, you know, traveling and starting other projects is kind of like what I'm doing to get away from that. So it's actually been nice, because it's helped my training actually quite a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to train, but sometimes like when I'm overconsumed, it suddenly turns it into a bit of a job, and it takes away that fun aspect a little bit. Mm-hmm. But because I'm not exhausted about thinking about it all the time and marrying the idea of training to competing, because I'm driven on making this year really good. It's just, it's a lot more fun now. And I'm noticing that I'm way, way, way more focused, because I'm compartmentalizing those things. If that makes any sense.
For sure.
Yeah. What about the hobbies you mentioned? What would be your favorite thing to do?
I was still working on the hobby thing.
He likes to work. Can't you hear?
That's what I'm saying. This is an adjustment period, Ron. Like, I'm not there yet.
He did see a movie a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Cut me some slack, goddammit. Like,
there you go.
I don't know.
No, yeah, I mean, get it, though, because you're creating more projects. And I mean, that I totally understand that, because what I think is interesting and I'm more curious to know about is, because obviously I saw, like, this morning you put up that story that, you know, you come home and your wife has all of your food locked and loaded, which is A, fucking awesome, and we know that. But B, have you found that, and obviously she's supported you from jump, but it gets easier for the family to support you when you're not just a fucking bodybuilder?
Yeah. I think I've gotten pretty good at being able to manage, though, over the years. I think I've been doing it long enough, you know, and it's a lifestyle for me. I mean, not a lot changes. I mean, I've always tried to break it down for people. Like, if you're in prep, it's only prep when you're at the gym. It's only prep when you're doing cardio. Like, those things really shouldn't be changing throughout the year. You're always going to work out. You're always going to meal prep. You know what I mean? It's basically just it's an energy deficit. And there's a little bit more time demand. But I'm pretty good about being able to separate that, like when I'm in prep and I'm here for the family and I'm doing what I need to do. And I, my wife is fucking incredible, where she will let me, she will take the reins, you know, and handle my kid more, a little bit like that. And like, I don't do the laundry as much cause I help out around the house. I do that shit, but it does, I get pretty tired. And so she does allow me to slack a little bit, but you better believe, like when I'm back off the show, she's like, all right, motherfucker.
Like, you wake up on Sunday morning with a list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's sitting on your forehead when you wake up from the
right? She's like, okay.
Shit,
like,
you fucked up on for the last 8 weeks.
You are going to need a screwdriver for this. You definitely
Dusty
will.
Cannot help you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How old's your son? You said he had a son?
Yeah, he just turned 12 in November.
What do you hope he sort of absorbs from the way you work and stuff, like the bodybuilding, and do you just hope the discipline rubs off on him, or do you want him to like?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to exemplify hard work and determination, to be dedicated and committed to something, just apply effort. And he's an athlete, he's a soccer player, basketball player, and he's very blessed athletically. But like, I've always just told him, like, I'm like, dude, I don't care if you're good, I just want you to try. That's it. Like, I just want you to give it 100%. If you just suck ass, then it is what it is. But if you're giving it 100%, like, I'm good with that, honestly, because you can't ask for more than that.
I like how you saved money on the sports too.
Yeah, you're smart. Yeah,
basketball.
Both require basketball. A ball.
He wants to play, ball. Yeah, he wants to play hockey really bad. I'm like, nah, bro. Like, I just tell him straight up. I was like, listen, like,
my parents could forward you the bills. If you want to know what they looked like when I was a kid?
Yeah. They're so expensive, man.
Oh, it's fucking brutal. Well, I'm curious though. It's something I talk to my friends that have kids. Do you try to find a way? Because here's something that I learned from friends with kids is when you're at work, your kids are at school. Mm-hmm. And when you come home, you're at home. And I had a friend and she's very financially, she's done well for herself. And she goes, you know what freaked me out one day? She goes, I realized he has no idea where this comes from, because he's at school when I go handle business. Yeah. And yeah, she takes calls throughout the night and stuff, but you know, kids, I don't give a fuck if you're on the phone. So it's like, do you try to actually actively explain, like, not what you do necessarily, but how to get them to get that light bulb of this didn't just show up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not talking about fancy things. I'm talking about simple as, you know, oh, you want to have it at roof. It's not fucking free. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you know, like my wife and I, we've always tried to, first of all, like not make work a bad thing. Right. You know, because you have to work, you have to sacrifice sometimes to make things happen, have nice things, do these sports camps, everything, you know, go on vacations and whatnot. So we've always tried to portray the work aspect as being something that's like a necessity and like a good thing, and not be like resentful or, you know, I never want him to have that type of image of work. But yeah, I mean, he sees what we do. You know, my wife is a very accomplished hairstylist, but he's gone with me to the gym. And when I'm here at home, I'll keep him involved once in a while and talk to him about my clients. And sometimes like the dipshit ones will say some stupid question, you know, like what's, you know, is how much protein's in an apple? And I'll be like, Jax. I'll go hear something funny, and I'll be like, this guy asked how much protein was in an apple, and he'll just be like,
he knows,
you know. So it's so funny, and he'll be like, why don't you just tell him that your 12-year-old knows that there's no protein in an apple? Like,
you should make him an assistant. You could have him email them back for those types of questions. Sign at the bottom, Jax.
All caps. Yep. Now you know how to answer this dumbass question.
and then you employ him and write him off.
Yeah. Right?
That's the business.
And what can you give a 12-year-old? And give him like $15,000 a year?
Yeah,
no
right?
problem. No
that's
problem.
Right.
Trust me.
It's about
not
right.
that I've ever, not that I've ever paid the neighbor kid $15,000 and put him under mine. That'd be weird.
Harvey. Shh.
Nobody ever asked who Harvey is. It's fine.
what's your training situation? Do you have a good gym to train at?
Yeah,
no, he has a shit gym. He has two shitty gyms. He has quads.
The worst gym in the country.
Dusty mentioned you lived out there, but I didn't know that you were regularly at quads.
Just Sundays.
Just on Sundays. A bit of a drive.
We have a religious meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, so that, did Dusty ever tell you about our first meeting at Quads? It was magical. Oh,
it was magical. You're gonna have to tell this story. It's beautiful.
It was a gloomy day, Sunday. It was cold, but I walked in getting ready to train legs, and across the way, I saw an angry foreigner and Dusty, and he was like, I hope she sees this.
Oh, she'll see.
But no, he was on the bad girl machine, and we made eye contact, and the rest was history. Goodness. We took a picture and everything. It was great.
That's funny.
Everybody's got to film me get a tight picture with me on the bad girl, and then that's where he got forever dubbed the amateur.
That's funny.
What did she say? She goes, "Oh, I didn't know you hang out with amateurs," or something like that.
I was like, "Bitch!" I was like, "Damn it!"
Savage woman.
That was his intro to her. Was I didn't know you hang out with amateurs. I was like, I'm choking. He's silent and tearing up.
I got her back though. You know, when I was on my way to Phoenix, uh-huh. I said I posted something about Phoenix. She's like, and she messaged me. She's like, that place is shit or boring. I was like, it's fucking nicer than Chicago. And she's like, oh, so you have a job, an actual job? I was like, yeah, I do. She's like, oh, me too. She's like, I get to dress up and wear like pencil skirts and shit. And I said, fans only doesn't count. So I told her, I was like, that's what I'm like. That's for the amateur comment. I got you.
And fans only doesn't count.
And there it is. That's fucking classic.
Oh man. Well, you can train at like a fit for less for the rest of the week. If you get to train at Quads on Sundays, it would almost make up for it.
No, we just opened up a gym on New Year's Day. So it's pretty amazing. Yeah. I haven't been to Quads in a while because of it. So it's about 8,000 square feet. We have all new Arsenal and Prime equipment. So we got a functional training area now. Yeah. It's fucking tits, man. So I love that place. And we're going to open up the second one in June.
What's it called and where is it?
It's Grit Fitness in Cedar Lake, Indiana. And then we have we were World Gym. We had two locations, and we dissolved the franchise and went under our own entity at Grit Fitness. So here in the summertime, our bigger location is going to get revamped too. So
how long have you been involved in the gym business?
My whole life, and this one probably about 5 years, 6 years.
Oh wow, that's awesome, man! See, the whole interview, he doesn't mention that he owns gyms.
That's secret shit.
That's the thing that a lot of people have been messaged about is they love, like when we had Chris Aceto on talking about real estate, and then when Dusty was talking about the stores that he bought and sold and all that stuff, they loved all that stuff. So, but that just goes back to like having stuff that isn't just a bodybuilding check. Like,
you can't.
And people look on Instagram and they think they know you and they think they know your business because of what you put up, you know, like they're like, oh, he's a bodybuilder and he's got sponsors.
Yeah. And that's all I put on there anyway. Yeah, that's all it's for.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
For me anyway. That's all my page is for, really.
Right. Like, right.
I don't post too much about my wife. I don't post too much about my son just because I've learned that people are fucking weird.
Yeah.
They're weird. I'm like, nah.
I found too that, I mean, not all the time, especially if you're not trying to highlight your businesses on social media, the most successful people I know downplay how hard they work.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and downplay how successful they are.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing. Cause I find that all the time too. Cause people ask me like, what do you do all day? And I always say, not too much.
Yeah. You really don't talk about it.
You just, because I mean, I know it's not that interesting. You know what I mean? Right. The only time I do mention it, all kidding aside, is like with my neighbors, because when I move in, it's always a little weird that there's a big juice head down the street that never leaves his house. So I kind of like to tell him, like, well, I'm not a drug dealer, if you were wondering. And
right.
It's my social if you want to run and make sure you can see I don't have any like outstanding warrants. So
right.
You know, because I do think about that, because like my last house I was in a pretty established area, and I was definitely the only, you know, late 20s guy living in there that appeared to just be home a lot.
Right.
This was, God, now 7-8 years ago. I mean, shit, we're talking about 20s here. It was after I sold my stores. So I was home all the time.
You were in your late 20s, Dusty.
No, that's not true. I've been in my late 20s for 10 years now.
He's really bad at math.
I've been holding on to the 28. I actually explained that to Sarah this weekend. She's like, how old are you? I said, 28 for a decade now.
That's a good number.
right.
Well, if we factor in maturity and age, I'm right around 17.
That's kind of a bodybuilder staple, though. We all have like this like immaturity stuck in us, and we just like, as long as we direct it in a funny way, we can maybe make a buck.
Yeah,
you know,
as long as that buck is achieved, you're good to go.
Well, man, thanks for coming on the show, man. We kept you for almost an hour. It's we're glad to have you on. You know, we've always hit it off whenever I see you at the expos, and I always seem to run into you whenever you're at one. So yeah. I look forward to more. Maybe we'll train finally one of these days. I remember seeing you at Gold's that one time. We were both doing legs, and we were just like,
oh yeah,
just hey.
I'll die over here. You dial over there.
Yeah. No, it's good times, man. Anything you want to say to people watching? You know, people in the area that want to contact you for training or anything you want to, you know, sell us.
Sell yourself. No, yeah. I mean, I do online coaching and stuff like that. I'm not taking a whole bunch more clients right now. But if you guys want to reach out, it's Brandon Beckrich at Gmail, or my Instagram is BigB_SuperHeavy. It's the real big amateur page you'll see.
Love it.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to put that in my bio. Just put
bodybuilder.
Best amateur bodybuilder ever.
Yeah. Best professional amateur. Yes.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Thanks, brother.
I appreciate you guys, man.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Boom. There we go.
It was Brandon's a good guy, man.
Oh, you're back.
What's you left, he's back.
I'm back.
He's got something else to say.
What's that?
He's got something else to say.
I got hold on, guys. I got more shit to say.
I'm not fucking done with you two.
It's like when Madonna wouldn't leave Letterman that one time. She's like, fuck your next guest. I'm not getting out of this chair.
I actually hit the wrong button. I told you I use Skype. I'm not important enough to do podcasts. This is like one of my second or third times. All right, I'm really going this time. You guys have a good day.
See you, buddy.
See
you. There we go. Do you remember that story, Dusty? Yes. Did you ever hear about that time Madonna did that? Letterman had to bump the next guest.
Hey, if it's Madonna says she's sitting down, and what the fuck are you gonna do?
Well, it was a big deal getting her on, right? And they weren't really friends.
Right.
So when she came on, she was kind of a hostile guest. So it was a pretty funny interview. That was back in like the fucking 80s, I think.
That's awesome.
Good times. No, good to have him on. I like Brandon. I always got along with him. And I always thought he was such a good bodybuilder. You know, like I really want him to just nail it one day. And I think he'd, you know, do really fucking well. I mean.
Oh, he's a wacky bodybuilder. And that's the thing. Yeah. And what's funny, because I don't think a lot of people realize just how big he is in person. Because, you know, weight is tricky because it's like bone structure. He is a true, you know, 290, 300 pounds. Like when you see him, and if he says, yeah, sometimes you see someone and they'll be like, I feel bad with someone. When somebody goes, what are you, like 260 or like 290? Like no one's guessing him lighter than he is for sure.
Right.
If they know shit, because he's just a big fucking dude. And it makes sense to me now with the thyroid thing. Cause I've known him well enough to know that there was no fucking way he was cheating on his diet. He was not missing anything ever. And I was just like, man, I kept thinking to myself, he just needs to find the right person that can bring him in. And now I have a true understanding of what it was. You know, yeah. I really do believe that thyroid thing has been haunting him since he's been competing. He just didn't really realize it.
Well, and I'm wondering, is there something more to it? Like, I mean, I'm not a thyroid expert. I'm not an endocrinologist, but I've never heard of someone taking Cytomel and not having it show up on the blood test as like
No, that's what he did with T4. Yeah. So when he took the T4 first, and that's what
didn't alter.
That didn't do anything. He took 50 on the T4. Then
the Cytomel would have to have raised.
Yeah, that's when they brought that in. Yeah. When they went with both, and that's when he started to feel better. But still, to not really shake anything with a T4 is interesting. I'm a little bit surprised the doc didn't start out with a higher dose like Armour Thyroid or something, just because that would have made more sense. But I mean, maybe that was the whole point, was to see if anything at all happened with the T4, you know?
I asked my doctor, who's got his own hormone clinic and stuff. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, like, because you hear a lot of people say, oh, I got put on T4 and, you know, nothing really happened. And then, you know, later on down the road, they eventually finally, hey, bud. Barking at some. Later on down the road, they eventually get, like, put on to Cytomel. And then they feel better.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, I go, why don't you just skip the Synthroid and just put people on Cytomel? And he goes, oh, the half-life is too short. And most people are terrible at taking pills.
Right.
And, like, the average person can't take a pill 2 days in a row if their life depends on it. And so it's just kind of like almost that's part of the reason why doctors don't prescribe it. It's not that they don't think it's better. It's just like doesn't work for a lot of people because it can't be consistent.
Yeah, it doesn't work for a lot of people because a lot of people don't work. Got it. I mean, it's really that fucking simple. How pathetic is that, right?
Yeah. Do you have any coaches' corner here, Dusty?
You know what, man? I mean, we covered the majority. So if you've got something, fire away.
Well, we were. We kind of touched on it with the gyms when he said he trains at quads once a week, and I was like, oh, and I made the crack about, well, you could train at like a shitty, you know, fitness club the rest of the week, and it kind of work itself out.
Right.
But so one thing that I had listed as a topic that I want to talk about with you is the environment that you train in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people don't seem, especially this sort of like, I don't want to use the term average person, but like the recreational trainer, they sometimes don't realize that they're not at the right gym.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Like,
they're at this gym. It's close to their house. They work out there. They think they have good workouts.
Mm-hmm.
They're under the impression, like, you know, they've made some gains. They enjoy their workouts. It's all cool, but they haven't really been to, like, you know, whatever the best gym in the area. Maybe it's 45 minutes away, or maybe it's an hour. Like he said, he drives to quads.
Yeah.
And they just haven't made the trek. They just haven't invested that hour to make the drive. Like if it's 2 hours away, I get it. That's too far to kind of reasonably.
Yeah. Especially on the regular.
Yeah. But if there's a great gym, they just haven't gone there yet. I think they're selling themselves short because, you know, this isn't just because I own a gym. This is just my whole life. You know, I always invested in training at the best atmosphere I could find. And my rationale for that was, if you look at it in extremes, what would the extreme end of shitty be? Well, that would be like, what, a hotel gym at an old age center?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So do you think you could get your goals achieved there? Most people would probably say, oh, no, that would suck.
Yeah.
Right. So, OK, so there is a line.
There is a place where it would be difficult, if not impossible. Yeah.
There's a place where it's not going to work. Even if your goals, like, I'm not talking about being a pro. I'm just talking about everyone's goals are important.
Yeah.
Right. My goals aren't any more important just because I was like trying to be a pro. You might be trying to like lose 100 pounds or whatever it is. But you know, there is a spot where your goal is not going to get achieved because the environment's too shitty.
Right.
And I'm just wondering how many people don't realize that they're a little closer to that than they are to this.
Right.
And there's a better place for them to train. And I want to like kind of say how important I think it is for people to try out all the gyms around them, try to find a better environment for their goals. Because it, you know, whenever I think of all the bodybuilders that I really, really, you know, thought, you know, impacted me, they all trained at gyms.
Right. No, you know? I know what you mean for sure. But I think the other factor is people, and this is an extreme point, but I think too often we just look for convenience with a goal like this, but without factoring in that maybe you're being so focused on convenience, you're not thinking about succeeding in achieving the goal. You know what I mean? Right. Because you wouldn't knowingly go to the gym that was just outside of the office to save yourself 10 minutes to drive to a gym that was better. You're not that fucking busy. You know what I mean? Right. So I think it's important. Like you said, there's a reason that gyms offer either day passes, or a lot of gyms will offer a very discounted week pass before you sign up. So you go in, you try that gym, you try another one, you find what fits you best too. You know, I know when I first started, I went to a gym called Mountainside Fitness. It was fitness. Nice gym, great equipment. And then I went to Gold's, and Gold's was Gold's. You know what I mean? Very much so. And there were parts about the transition that I didn't like. Gold's was darker. There were certain things, but I knew I was at a place where my goals, they designed that gym for people who had my goal.
Right. Which you know Gold's I mean? Was this?
This was the Gold's in Gilbert, which now is an EOS Fitness. But it was a bodybuilder's gym.
Like all the bodybuilders,
yeah. All the bodybuilders trained there. You know, so it was very crystal clear when I went in there. I mean, I remember because for the first time, I was almost intimidated going into the gym because, like, man, everyone in here is already where I'm trying to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying there. But you have to know to look into it because it does baffle you how much time people will spend looking into, I don't know, driving 15 cars before they buy them or this, that, or the other. I mean, car is an extreme example because you're spending 50 grand. But you know what I mean?
And it's an appreciating asset. Yeah,
versus popping into the first fucking gym they see and just signing a membership.
Right.
Barely paying attention to who's there. Like, I'm always amazed, too. People go sign up for a gym at a time that they're not going to train. Right. I'm like, no, you should go to the gym when you're going to go there so you can see what it looks like when you train. Is that an environment? Is that time of day when you're going to be there directly from work? When you go in there, you're like, oh, fuck. This gym is too busy, or it's too whatever you don't like about a gym, or it's fucking perfect. This is the one. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there's also a level that you will get to where you make the atmosphere at the gym, or you're a big part of, like a guy like you. Well, you're a big part of the atmosphere at the gym. So you could technically train at a more sort of commercial gym, but you would make it hardcore. Yeah. Like, we've talked about how you and I have both trained at gyms where we made it a bodybuilder's gym.
Right.
Like, almost against the manager's desires. It's like people start showing up to train because you're training there.
Yeah. No, and for sure. And I think that you reach a point where that's something that I think we've touched on before. And I know I have a lot with people is – I'm so spoiled here because every gym lets me train for free. So I go to different gyms on different days based on what I like the most. And I get shit sometimes. People, they'll be like, man, you're a fucking princess. You drive all over. I'm like, yeah, but I could get it done at any of these gyms.
Right.
It's just that it is that important to me. So I might as well pick the one that I absolutely think fits me the most for each thing. Right. I mean, I probably, when we go to that gym, which is the Gilbert Gold's now, the EOS, when I'm using the pendulum and the pendulum leg press, also the hammer strength low leg press, I probably pass no less than 50 gyms to get there.
That's funny.
You know what I mean? I mean, literally, I bet you that's not even a stretch of how many gyms I pass to get to that gym. But it's the gym I want for that day, you know?
Right.
And it makes sense to me. But, you know, the flip, I also look at, like, Dorian Yates. I remember, and I know you've done this when you first walk in there, I remember realizing how much overkill I had in my life with equipment and shit when I looked around that gym and was like, the greatest bodybuilder I've ever seen did it all here.
Yeah.
In this little gym with these, what, 30 pieces of equipment? I mean, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, granted, he hand chose them for what he was doing. But when that really hits you, you're like, it's not necessary if you've got the right environment built for you. You know what I mean? I can't get it done in a Planet Fitness. But, I mean, it doesn't need to be as overtop as it is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That gym was awesome. I actually had someone on my Instagram ask, what's your favorite gym you've ever done a mutant on a mission at? And I said, well, that's hard to answer because there were so many good gyms and I only got to train at most of them once.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard. Like, there was a lot of good ones, but my favorite, you know, my favorite gym experience ever was still the, you know, because I got to train at Temple 5 times.
Yep.
So I got to, like, train at Temple. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I laugh because people ask, like, how's the new one? I'm like, I never bothered to look.
The only thing I never got to do is I never got to train quads there.
And I have, you saw me.
Yeah. You were, that was the kind of the first day we really like chatted, like,
yeah,
was at Temple that day. Cause like, we kind of talked before, but
The first time the crazy Dino yelled in my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know who this crazy fucker is, but I love him.
Out of fucking nowhere.
I will never forget, like, jamming away on that hack squat and hearing someone with a heavy accent screaming at me. You know? And I got done and I was gassed and I sat up. I just looked over and he walks over and he smacks me on the shoulder. He goes, "That's a fucking set," and walked away. And I was like, "Who was that?"
Yeah. I remember hearing him yell at you, and I walked into the room like right after you were done your set, I think, and we took a photo.
Yep.
But I remember hearing Dino yelling, and then I heard him say, "Dusty." You know, he says your name. Fucking guy.
Oh, it was great though. That is one of my, actually probably one of my, that's my second best memory of Temple. First, of course, being training back with Dorian at Temple.
Training it's back kind with of Dorian. Tough to beat. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty funny. So what's your plan for the rest of the day, Dusty?
I put back on the 6 pounds I lost over the weekend.
Damn. Expo life, eh?
Dude, it never fails. My goal, it's good though, because this is funny, but my goal, as weird as it sounds, just based on averages over the years, is never more than 7. So this morning I stepped on the scale, I looked down, I was like, yeah, 6 still sucks. Fuck.
Probably
I
just mean, a big
it's just of water. Water and bullshit. Yeah, but you know how it is, because I was consistently where I was. I'm like, yeah.
And, my muscle cells were optimally volumized.
Of course, the mind fuck is I haven't trained in a week and I've got one more to go. So, you know, now I'm like, I have no excuse. I have nothing else to do but eat and work.
Right, right. my plan is I'm actually heading to the airport in an hour.
Oh.
And I'm off to shoot the first 2 episodes of Mutant on a Mission for season 6.
Nice.
So season 6 is getting underway. So I've got 10 episodes to shoot. I'll get 2 of them done in the next 3 days. And then we're back, for another episode.
You're going Northern California, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually going to Mark Bell's Super Training Gym.
Oh, sick.
So I'm looking forward to that. So I don't quite know what Mark and I are going to do. I said maybe we'll do some like fucked up. I'll use some kind of fucked up bar I've never used and do some weird squats.
Right.
You know, put box under me or something. I've never even thought to do as a bodybuilder.
Yeah. Yeah. All I know is you're going to leave sore. You're flying home sore from any weirdness.
That's yeah. I sure. said, just don't hurt me. Let's work on technique. You know,
that's awesome.
Okay. Thanks, man. Have a good one. Enjoy the week. I'm going to be on the road. So you might have to keep me entertained with humorous texts.
I always do.
Okay.
Till next time.
It's just bodybuilding.